Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome an amazing entrepreneur from Melbourne, Australia, Mr. Harry Sanders. Harry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Harry is the founder of Studio Hawk. And in his own words, from a homeless to a millionaire, the raw and real journey of Harry Sanders is what we'll talk about. A story for building resilience in the workforce and inspiring future leaders of all ages. So Harry, tell me a little bit about your own journey from being homeless at 17 to founding Studio Hawk.
Sure. So I came from a poor background. My parents were divorced at a young age. And I mostly grew up with my mom until I was about 14. And then she was going through some stuff and I had to start living with dad. And dad had a few different partners that, you know, we kind of like that it's a very classic thing, unfortunately, the kind of stepmother situation. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, when I was 17, he found a partner that despised me so much. He called me baggage, you know, that I wasn't welcome to stay with them. And very quickly, I found myself homeless, just like a lot of people all around the world. It can really happen very fast and to anyone. And that was a week after I started the company. I basically paid all the money for the business documents and everything, and then I found myself homeless. So that was how it all kicked off. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine those first few nights sleeping under a bridge, trying to find a program. Even in Australia, like it's about a 6 month wait for emergency crisis housing. Mm-hmm. And even then, you know, that's if you can get on it. So it was a really tricky start. And to be honest, if it weren't for other people, I would have given up on my business journey then and there.
So Harry, who were the key people or your invisible army that supported you during your early days, and how did they help you?
So I really love that question because, you know, if you read stuff online or you look up the story online, there's a lot of information about like this self-made success. And I really hate that word. I hate this phrase self-made because I think it's a load of crap. I had so many key people help me along my journey, and I really wouldn't be anywhere where I was. I was ready to throw in the towel. I was looking for jobs at McDonald's or anywhere really that I could get employment. Now the two people, the first was my social worker, a woman called Carly. And she was the first person that really, I think, believed in me and said, well, you know, I understand you're trying to find these jobs, but what about this business you started? Why don't you try that? And I was like, you know, so I'd completely given up. I was like, I'm not going to, you know, pursue this business dream that I had. That's going nowhere. That kind of, I felt like that got me here. Mm-hmm. But she kind of really encouraged me to try it out and go to some events. So I went to some free kind of networking events, and I ended up meeting a man called Graham Robertson, who has been like a almost like a father figure to me. He took me in and kind of taught me everything I know about business, because I didn't know anything about business. My parents weren't, you know, in that kind of sphere. And so he taught me about money, about business, about taxes, and really helped steer me on that journey. So that was two people that really made a difference.
Amazing. And how has your past influenced your philosophy of paying it forward?
Well, I think if I'm being very honest with myself, when I was 17, before I ended up homeless, I just kind of thought, when I started a business, I thought, well, this would be great and I'll make so much money out of making this business. And I couldn't have been further from the truth. I think looking back, I realize now if you're starting a business to make money, get a job. You know, starting a business is about solving problems and finding product market fit. And I really truly believe, you know, making the world a better place for either your clients, your staff, or somebody. Because if you're not making the world better, you're not in business for long. So that was kind of this guiding principle that I kind of developed over the years. My first year of having the business, I really had to check my ego and really go through this almost transformation into building Studio Hawk into what it is today. And that philosophy kind of lives on through. We give a lot of people opportunities. So both our general managers in London and Australia came from, different kind of backgrounds than traditional, and we hired them, or I hired them, I should say, as juniors, and they've built themselves up into, some of the most successful SEO specialists in the world. We also do a lot with a organization called the Lighthouse Foundation, which is a youth homelessness organization. So we contribute hundreds of thousands of dollars to making sure that young kids in Australia have got a place to go. So I'm also an ambassador for them. So look, in short, I believe that what we do in our life ultimately boils down to how we're remembered. And I've been to a lot of very wealthy people's funerals, and people are squabbling over wills. And I've realized that's not what I want. I want people to, just like I would for Graham, be able to stand there and say, that guy made me into man that I am today.
Very interesting. And in what ways has community support been crucial to your personal and professional success?
Well, I think community is a big part of everything. I've learned, again, most of what I know through the community, through people reaching out and helping. And I like to think that I play that forward by, when people reach out and, message me, I try and, go out of my way to help them as well. But that's community. That's by definition what community is. So community support, whether it's groups like YPO or EO, which are business communities that I'm a part of nowadays, or whether it's just your general kind of, meetup communities. I mean, they're fundamental to really understanding yourself, your business, and those around you. So even industry, I mean, we're involved in our industry specific kind of community as well, through hosting and making our team members come along, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, community is very important.
And you mentioned YPO and EO. Are you a member of YPO and EO?
Yes.
Wonderful. So, I've been a YPO member for 30 years, so
Oh, amazing.
good to meet you. So moving on, how have resilience and innovation played a role in Studio Hawk's success?
Resilience and innovation. I think resilience is one that you don't really think that you need. I never would have thought that you need resilience to be successful in business, if that makes sense. I just kind of thought, you build a business, you learn things, and it just kind of works. But every business is going through some level of difficulty. It's like an emotional roller coaster. You've got your massive highs and your massive lows. And it's incredibly important to have the resilience to survive those massive lows, because you will. When you're starting out, it's almost like a daily thing. You kind of feel like throwing in the towel or giving up. So you need to have the resilience to get through that. And that's where it's really good to have a bigger goal in mind than just money, because you can look at that and use that. It's almost like a North Star as to where you want to head. So resilience has been fundamentally important in that regard. And innovation, I mean, if you're not innovating, you're dying, is what we would say in business. You have to have a innovative offering, and that doesn't mean that you put that on your homepage. It means that a big part of everything that you need to do in your business or organization needs to be centered around innovation, always pushing forward. We say if we're 1% better every day, it doesn't sound like much, but that's 365% over the course of a year. Now, do I think we get 365? I don't know, but we're always pushing incrementally to innovate and to make sure that we have the best offering on market. So innovation is very key.
Very interesting. And how do you foster a culture of giving and community support within your team at Studio Hawk?
I think community support and giving, that comes from the top. I think, you have to give without looking for anything in return. You have to provide for the community without expecting anything back. They're the core tenets and principles of kind of giving, because otherwise, by nature, if you're giving with the expectation of getting something back, that's not really giving, that's trading. Which is fine, but you've got to realize what you're doing. So I think with that in mind, leading with that from the top of kind of like, we give freely, we make sure that we look after everyone in our circles, we do the right thing, even though doing the right thing is often the hard thing to do. That's the right thing to do, and that's what we'll do. And I think when people see that come from the top of an organization, that flows through. Nowadays, we've got a lot of different staff. We've got over 80 staff around the world, and I love to see this culture of giving. A big thing of what we have in the company is we have a book called Giftology that we make our staff read, which is all about the art and science of giving gifts. Now, it sounds corny, but it's basically just the idea of, how a lot of people buy gifts is wrong. Like, we buy a gift for someone's birthday. I'm not saying that's bad, but that's expected. Giving, not just gifting, but in general, is about doing something unexpected. So it could be going above and beyond, or it could just be like minor milestones we celebrate within the team. So I like to think we have a really good culture of giving.
Amazing. So one more question relating to, your own story, and then I want to talk about your charity. How do you hope your story inspires others facing difficult circumstances?
Well, so my story, I feel like a lot of people have got very similar stories, and yourself being in YPO, I feel like people really open up and share their stories, which is a fantastic part of being in these communities. But I think a lot of people are scared to do that publicly because very confronting. In fact, if I'm being completely honest with you, I didn't intend to share my story publicly. Was just work at the time, and I told people that I used to come from a homeless background, and a media reporter picked that up, and faced the challenge of, what do I do with this? And so I chose to take that on, and there wasn't really much to do. I chose to take that on, and I'm really glad I did, because I'm very fortunate to have people messaging me and saying that, this has helped them come forward with their story or feel less, I guess, less embarrassed about it. And so I guess the whole thing and why I talk about it is homelessness is something that a lot of people go through. And for a lot of people, it's very embarrassing. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it or get help, or even when they have made success or seen success, they don't want to talk about that. And just like I think a lot of fantastic people have spoken about mental health and why that's something we should talk about, I think homelessness is something similar. I think just because I was homeless doesn't, it's not a negative connotation. It's just something that I went through. And I think if a lot of people could understand that, or people that were even on the street now, it would give them, more of that push to keep going, because I know it was really, really hard to keep going because I thought it would follow me for the rest of my life.
My next question is that how has being recognized in the Forbes 30 Under 30 and winning various awards influenced your career and charity work?
I think awards are an interesting one. And look, awards are fantastic. Awards are not the be all end all. If you're pursuing awards, that's great. But you do the show, you get the trophy. It's all very nice. But realistically, the thing that awards do is they help just boost your credibility when you're talking about things. I can say, oh, I founded this company, Studio Hawk, and we've, doing over 10 million, and we've got all this stuff. But that it doesn't really do much until someone's externally validated that. And that's where awards come in. So that external validation has been very key in my career in terms of getting opportunities and getting involved in charities and all that kind of work and stuff that we do. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, people want external validation, right? So by having that stuff behind me, it allows to speak at different events, get invited on podcasts like this one, and kind of share that story further.
Wonderful. And how, Harry, how do you balance your charity work with the demands of running a successful business?
I think, well, I mean, it's a question of every entrepreneur or founder. How do you manage your time? The business. I have to thank the management team and the board and everyone that works in that business. They do a phenomenal job. I travel a lot because we've got an office in London, and we're starting one in the US, and we've got Australia. And I travel a lot for the charity work as well, because I will speak at different places around the world about the story and fundraise that money and donate it all back to the charity. But the business, you know, like I think when you build a business, I mean, we just turned 9 years old yesterday. And the most exciting part about that is a good business outlives its founder. So Studio Hawk, regardless of my involvement or not, will continue to go from strength to strength. I love being involved and I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm not looking to sell the business. It's not something I'm looking to do at all. But that's how I kind of manage that time, by delegating a lot of that business stuff out, still staying involved. I'm still the founder. I still look at the strategy, but I rely and lean heavily on the two fantastic general managers and the operations team. And I can kind of pull my time into the different charity stuff. And I think the two things I would say is delegate, obviously. You know, you can't get anywhere without delegating. And then the other one is saying no. It sounds bad, but you know, unfortunately, I do have to say no to a lot of things. And that's just because, you know, it's an opportunity cost, it's a prioritization. If I go to an event in America next week, for instance, that means that I can't do this conference in Australia that I'm doing it for their charity event. So, you know, that opportunity cost really has to be weighed up, and I have to see, you know, what am I kind of feeling at the moment?
And you mentioned, you know, that you donate your speaking fees to combat youth houselessness, homelessness. What may motivates you to do this?
Well, to be honest, and this might be a bit controversial, I find it upsetting or a little bit distasteful. I'm not saying that everyone, but a lot of speakers that will speak professionally, they'll have a business and they'll be very successful in their own regard. You know, Studio Hawk is my main money maker. It makes money and it funds my life and allows me to donate and do all this stuff, which is amazing. But a lot of speakers will then charge a fee. So for a standard conference, you know, you might charge anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 as a speaking fee for someone to come, like myself, and come speak an event. And it obviously can go a lot higher than that. And these people, even though they've got a lot of money, they might be multimillionaires, they still will take that money and just use it as like spending money. I think that's really unfortunate, because I think there's a lot of charities that, you know, if they align with, that's money that could go there. I don't need an extra $5,000 or an extra $10,000 speaking at an event, but I love to be able to go to an event, speak about the story, and thank the audience and everyone there, and saying, well, you know, as a part of being here, you've actually already kind of helped combat this problem of youth homelessness, because all the speaking fees have been donated directly to that program. So that's why I do that. I really, to be honest, I can't imagine not doing it. It would almost feel wrong to keep and take those speaking fees when I don't need it and someone else does.
Fascinating. So I have time for two more questions for you. My next question is, how has all the charity work that you do contributed to your own personal growth?
That's a great question. I think, you know, I was told early on through Graham, everything you do in life either comes, you know, down to your kind of yourself, your finances, and your soul, right? Your body, your money, and your soul. And you've got to figure out what you're doing for which. Now, for myself, I do a lot of hobbies, travel, all that kind of stuff. For the business, I've spoken about, and you know, that's doing really well. But then your soul, I think a lot of people really forget that. That could be your faith. But for me, that's the charity work that I do. So that charity work really has strengthened my soul. And it's the kind of thing that even on those tough days, even when you're lying there and you're wondering why the hell you get up each and every day, and the days where things just feel like they're crashing down all around you, you can look back. And I've got this great book from the charity that's a bunch of stories. And I've got this little emblem that I keep by my desk as well. And this is something a little girl gave to me when I was on the streets and homeless. And I look at it every day, and it reminds me to do something for someone else. Because ultimately, that's one of the greatest pleasures that you can have in life. It can just be a small action, or a small moment, but it can make a big difference in someone's life. So I think that's really been a big part of my personal growth. And I would confidently sit here and say that without that kind of bigger mission or bigger goal in place, you know, we never would have been as successful because I would have lost part of that drive.
And my last question to you, Harry, what advice would you give to entrepreneurs about incorporating charity work into their business model?
I think when you're incorporating charity work into your business model, I think it's important to find something that you really resonate with. And, you know, it's a lot of people will pick a variety of charities and donate, and that's amazing and that's fantastic, and that's definitely one way to do it. But I think if you really want to ingrain your business into something and really be known in a space, it's sometimes best to pick one charity that you can really align with, or one, maybe not one charity, one cause you really align with. That way you're not kind of scattered amongst a bunch of different things. You know, you're everything to everyone. It's like in business, you know, what's your USP? What do you really provide? And so when you're looking at charity, it's a similar thing. It's kind of, for me, you know, I had that experience with youth homelessness and then kind of extended that out to giving people a go, which is a big part of Studio Hawk today. We give people a go. We have world-class training programs. We fund people that wouldn't be given a job, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think picking a charity that aligns, it doesn't have to be homelessness. It could be a lot of people have a lot of, you know, it could be cancer, it could be, you know, something like that. I think you dig deep enough, you'll find that there's something that really resonates with you. Maybe your best friend's going through it. Maybe your parents. Maybe I'm sure there's someone. There's enough suffering in the world that I'm sure that you won't have to think too hard to find a charity and a cause that you really align with and stick with that.
Well said. Harry, on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your own amazing journey. I think it is very inspirational to see the amazing amount of work that you have done and you're continuing to do to support so many people, are not just in your own city, but around the world. Thank you for talking to me about so many different perspectives that you have on gratitude to people who have supported you, on advice that you are giving to people to be able to pay it forward, and of course, on all the charity work that you're doing. Thank you again for
Thank
speaking
you
to me, and good luck.
so much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.